Well, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's great to be with you this morning. As you heard, I'm Pastor Randy Duncan. I'm the campus pastor at Concordia University. We're just gearing up for another semester, but it's great to be here with you and to be reminded that, of our God who transforms our lives, transforms the graves into gardens, that he never wastes our pain. And as we've been talking about here with these life songs, that he sings over us with dancing, that he truly loves us, that the most important person in the universe cares for you and loves you greatly. So let's just take a moment to pray before we begin. Lord, I pray that you would increase and that I would decrease and that you would forgive my sins for their many. And as we look to your word, may we be reminded that you seek relationship, that you are a relationally driven God, for you are love, and love always searches for objects to be loved, and where the focus, where the apple of your eye. Lord, thank you for that this morning, that we come boldly to you as your children, coming to the throne of grace. Thank you for singing over us this morning. We pray this in your powerful name, Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm a city boy born and raised in Southwest Detroit. Anybody else born and raised in Detroit? Not quite. Okay, a few of us here. It's really Detroit. Like when I say I was born in Detroit and raised in Detroit, I hear some people say, yeah, I'm from Detroit, but like from Bloomfield Hills or something like that, which is close to Detroit, but grew up in Detroit, and we lived Southwest Detroit, not far from Mexican Town. I loved growing up in Detroit. It was so diverse. Walking down the street there, it was like all nations, like the United Nations, right there on our street. The one thing I did not like about growing up in Detroit had the scariest basements in the world. And I remember as a kid just not wanting to go down the basement to go and play. It was kind of creepy. I was sure Freddy Krueger lived down there somewhere, if you get that reference, a horror movie that's about to happen. You would go down these steps, and the steps didn't have that, like, the backing on it. It just had the step, and you knew for sure somebody's going to grab you. So you're going down really quick, which I don't quite get, because if it's down there, then you're more quickly going to be captured or whatever's going to happen. But you go down there real quick, go up real quick. One day I was playing down there in the evening, and I remember these huge Tinker Toys that I had. Like big ones. Yeah, how many of you remember Tinker Toys? Huge ones. And I can make pirate ships, I remember as a kid. And I'm down there playing in the basement. It was after dark, and the power went out. And if I had a crayon right then, I'd be writing my will. Because I thought, this is it. Freddy's got me right now. Freddy Krueger's gonna kill me down here. I remember my heart just racing, and I was petrified. I don't know if I've ever been so afraid in my life. And so I remember backing up, going towards, trying to hide in a corner, which is, that's kind of stupid as a kid. You don't realize, you don't want to be cornered, but that's what I thought. Just I'll hide there. Was a few minutes later, I hear steps coming towards me, and I go, that's it, this is how I'm going out. And coming closer, and my heart's beating faster, and then finally I hear, son, it's your dad. I'm just say a word and I'll be there to get you. I think of the only thing I could say was help, kind of, and he said, say it again, help, and he followed my voice, and I remember him picking me up and I'm holding him, and I wasn't afraid because Daddy had me. Now, the lights didn't automatically come on because he was there and because he was holding me. It was still dark. It was in itself the same experience, except I was in the arms of my father, who I knew was big, who I knew was strong, and who I knew loved me. We are in the arms of a father. He hears you. He heard our calls for distress. Our God is a covenant God. He pursues us. He loves us. He wants relationship with each one of us. He doesn't want just visitation rites on a Sunday morning for an hour. He wants you to know that you have a 24/7 Heavenly Father who cares about everything that you're going through. And I love this, the series that you're going through, these life songs. And in today's readings, we see how God promises to David that he's going to send somebody that's going to be on a throne forever. And what I want to do is kind of back up a little bit, because the covenant, is a fancy way of saying agreement or deal. How many of you are old enough to know, remember, let's make a deal? Yeah, so God is saying, let's make a deal, and I'm the one that's going to make sure it's kept. And I'm the one that's going to make sure you're blessed. But here's an agreement. Here's the relationship we have together. Goes all the way back, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Genesis 1 and 2, creation, everything's going well. God is saying, it is good, it is good, it is good, it is good. The only thing he kind of tweaks, even in perfection, is he says it's not good for a man to be alone. So God addresses loneliness, even in perfection, which tells us something. Like, we've been through a number with this whole COVID thing. The separation, the struggle, the loneliness. It's real, and God is doing a work, I think, right now, helping to restore and to heal, not just physically from that, but emotionally from what we went through. So 1 and 2, creation, and then chapter 3 is the fall. According to Jewish tradition, we lasted 10 days from creation to fall. That's why, on my mother's side, I'm Jewish. On my father's side, I'm Scottish. I'm kind of cheap on both sides. But there's between two holy days, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it's 10 days, 10 days of awe. The reason why it's the 10 days is because it was the 10 days that we lasted before an animal had to be sacrificed, atoning for the nakedness and the shame that we brought upon ourselves. So we don't know if that's for sure. If it was me, I'd probably last like 10 hours. But, you know, however long it was, they fell. And immediately God goes into action with covenant, with agreement, with relationship. And he promises that from the seed of the woman, which right away, we're getting a glimpse of the virgin birth, because everywhere else in Scripture it's the seed of the man, seed of the man, seed of the man. But God says the seed of the woman is going to produce a deliverer, somebody that is going to undo the mess that Satan brought in through his temptation. And that this deliverer, he's going to be hurt, he's going to be wounded, his heel struck. But I love what it says. He's going to, here's the Revised Randy version of that verse. He's going to curb stomp the head of the enemy, of the serpent. Why the head? Well, it's death blow, but remember who Satan is, the accuser. You're never going to amount to anything. Your sins are too great. You've gone too far. And at the cross, Jesus curb stomps that jaw to keep it from speaking those lies to you. And that you can hear, no, you are forgiven. you are free. You have a clean slate. You have the ability to start all over again. And so they believe this, and then Eve gives birth, and the first thing she says is, translations have it, I've given birth with the help of the Lord. That's how the translations have it. I've given birth with the help of the Lord. Birth to a man with the help of the Lord. Actually, in the Hebrew, it's, I've given birth to a man, the Lord. There's evidence there in the Hebrew that he thought, okay, God's going to keep his promise right away. Firstborn. Boom. Messiah is here. He's gonna make everything right. She gave birth to Cain. Sometimes it doesn't always happen the way we think it might happen. But God keeps his promises. He promises again to Noah this covenant. He promises to Abraham that through you, I'm going to bless all nations. Everybody's going to be blessed through your offspring, the Messiah. And then finally, in our reading today, we see David, through David. And so what's spliced into this covenant is not only that, is he going to be a deliverer? Is he going to be a savior? He is king. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is on the throne forever and ever. And that's who our Jesus is. And so the good news is this. God keeps his promises. That's the first thing. God keeps his promises. It might take a while, but God keeps his promises. You can take it to the bank. And God made a lot of promises to us, and he still is keeping these promises. He promised that a Messiah would come and be born, Micah 5 verse 2, and be born in Bethlehem. Messiah came, born in Bethlehem. The promise was that he was going to, the prophecies, he was going to be crucified. They pierced my hands and my feet. He was crucified, that he would rise again. He rose again. Jesus promised he'd send the Holy Spirit. He gave the Holy Spirit. He says he's coming back. He's going to come back. He's got a great track record with his promises. Second thing is this. His promises are centered, and yes, in Jesus, the Son of David. Over and over again, it's not by accident that you hear these lepers or other people, Son of David, have mercy on us. Son of David. It was a messianic term. They understood what we heard here that Dwayne read from the Old Testament, that this was referring to the Messiah, the deliverer that would come, the Son of David. Son of David, have mercy on us. So all of God's promises are centered and yes, in Jesus, the Son of David. I love how 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20 puts it, for all the promises of God find their yes in him, and yes in Jesus. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God. For his glory. We can say, it's certain. I'm not sure how God is going to do it. I don't know how it's all going to pan out. But I know that he is on the throne and there ain't no panic in heaven and things are going to be okay. Because he keeps his promises. He promised he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. And so as a people of faith, we need to cling to these promises of God because he keeps his promises. Satan wants to lie. That accuser the deliverer is undoing that lying mouth of his. But the accuser wants you to think you're orphaned. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't love you. He's not powerful like he says he is. He doesn't care. But we cling to his promises. And so what can we do? Lord, I'm going to cast my cares upon you because you care for me. That's a promise. Lord, I know you're going to provide for all my needs according to your glorious riches. Why? Because that's a promise. That no matter what I'm going through, you're going to work all things for good in my life because you've called me and we have a love relationship. We have this life song together. You're going to work all things good. Lord, I know that even when I'm feeling alone, you're there with me. Why? Because your promise says you're never going to leave me. You're never going to forsake me. Lord, I know that no matter how far away I feel like I've gone away from you, it's only one step back because your word says that when I draw near to you, you will draw near to me. Lord, when my heart is broken, because all I've gone through, relationally, my heart is broken over all this COVID mess, My heart is broken over what's happening in our nation and the strife. That you draw near to the brokenhearted. You save those who are crushed in spirit. That's your promise. And Lord, when I feel like I got nothing left, I can't go on, I'm going to cling to your promise that you are my refuge and my strength, a stronghold in times of trouble. He keeps his promise. We experience a promise today. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He promises. Doesn't matter how you feel. His promises remain true. It's all about his love and his grace for us. See, sin separates. The cross connects us. And grace is the glue. We all need grace. Every one of us in this room, every one of us viewing online, we are all hot messes. And we should be able to admit it. Especially in church. This is a place where you don't have to pretend like you got it together. Where you realize, I don't have it together. I am struggling, but God holds me together. God is near to the broken. He binds up the brokenhearted. Jesus gives us the ability through his grace to not be afraid. And because of his grace, we don't have to have excuses anymore, too. We can be honest. So we remember our testimony. Why? Because our testimony is based upon his promises, what he has done for us, how faithful he has been in our lives. We talked about his track record. If you look back in your life, God has worked over and over and over again. He's got a great track record in your life. But as humans, every next problem we have, we get like this spiritual amnesia. As if God has never done anything for us. And then he does it again, and then we forget again. But he keeps his promises even when we're forgetful. So what is our testimony? If somebody asks you, what's your testimony? I have a testimony. I could share it at some point, talking about how I came to faith. But ultimately, what my testimony is and what your testimony is the same thing. Your testimony is this. If somebody asks you, hey, when were you saved? You go, it was about 2,000 years ago on a Friday at about 3 p.m. out Jerusalem. That's when we were saved. When our Jesus says, it is finished, and then 3 days later, he inhales again. That's when that's the promises. That's what we hold on to. We don't hold on to even our faith. The object of our faith is what's powerful. My faith comes and goes, but Jesus remains unchanging, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so Jesus stretched out his mighty arms to save us. He loves us. And we need to show grace to one another too. Because this covenant relationship that we're called to with God is also with each other. We're called into community. We're all rough drafts of the people that we're still becoming. All rough drafts. We all need Jesus. And last thing is this. The covenant of the Son of David is a global mission. It's a global mission. Jesus, the Son of David, says here how in heaven, there's going to be people from everywhere, all east and west, everybody is going to be there from all nations hanging out with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That the mission is huge. That God, for God so loved the what? World that he gave, not a state, not a city, not just a state, not just a city, not just a country. He loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son. And so it's important for us to remember that there is no nation, there's no people, there's no culture or city like Detroit, Bloomfield Hills that is excluded from God loving the whole world that he gave. So everybody you make eye contact with, loved, died for. Go to Steve's Deli, which I think I'm going to do after this. Get a nice Reuben, some matzo ball soup, such a deal. Everybody make eye contact at Steve's Deli. Anywhere along Telegraph. Loved and died for by Jesus. Martin Luther was going through a period in his life where he was struggling with depression. And what you'll find, too, many of the great heroes of the faith struggled deeply at times. Well, he was going through a really dark period. Some of it was his health. Some of it was his intention was never to have the church split. He wanted to reform it, to renew it, to revive it. And so he struggled with the effects of that. And so he locked himself into his bedroom for a couple days. His wife, Katie, who he nicknamed Katie My Rib, you know, going back to Eve kind of thing, Katie My Rib, Catherine. Well, she said, that's all I can take. And so she put on funeral garb, all black, with the veil, walks into their bedroom, and Martin Luther looks over at her, like, oh, as if my life is in a mess already. Who died? And she said, it must have been God by the way you're acting. And it woke him up. God's not dead. God is very much alive and he's for us. And so out of that, there was a little ditty that he wrote after looking to the Psalms. You might have heard it, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. It came out of that time of depression, that assault he was feeling from Satan. That the whole world is included. Another point when he was struggling, a friend came to him and said, oh, don't you wish right now that you can open the Bible and it would say, for God so loved Martin that he gave his only begotten son. Wouldn't that make you feel better? And Martin Luther goes, no, because I'd be afraid it's some other Martin. But because it says the world, I know I'm included. Because it says the world, you're included. Because it says the world, everybody around us is included. Because it says the world, everyone who's viewing is included. No one is beyond the reach of the one who stretched out his mighty arms to save us. And so, this is a global mission. And Jesus died for everyone, therefore it is every human being's birthright to be able to hear the gospel. Because they've been died for. There's good news waiting for everybody. And so the opportunity of the church is to get that news out. What the church is about, for us to be the church, we got to get the church out of the church in order to be the church. Are you picking up what I'm laying down? You got to get the church out of the church in order to be the church. That this message is meant to go public. It can be personal. I have a personal relationship with Jesus, but it's not private. And my encouragement to you is never surrender to small thinkers the agenda of this global mission that God has given you. My prayers are for you during this whole time, this whole transition period, that you would remain strong. This has always been a beacon church. And that we are, I believe you understand, that we're called to be fishers of men, not keepers of the aquarium. That we're meant to be out. There's a whole sea out there of people to be reached in the name of Jesus. And so may you be reminded today on an individual basis that you are loved, that God keeps his promises to you, that you are in covenant with him and he keeps his promises and no one can snatch you from his hand. As a community though also, as a church, may you remember that you are in relationship to a powerful, awesome God who spoke the world, the universe into existence. He rose from the dead. He's able to see you through whatever you are facing. Because if God is for us, then what? Who can be against us? And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
And with those words in mind, let